finish at 9 because I know some people have got a long way to go, and that's the time I said that we would finish. My projector has given up the ghost, so we'll just have to do it as best we can. Some things I'll have to just skip over because we won't have enough time, and because I still like all your comments and things. But I will skip over the things that really are quite self-evident. So if you have the PowerPoint, you'll know what it is and you can, you know, fill in the gaps. So I'll show you things that maybe I would think might be relevant. I just wanted to show you this at the end. So when I was talking about different books and things that are worthwhile to give to children, they're very, there are loads of them. Obviously age appropriate, very well written, and I think are quite worthwhile to give to kids. This one in the middle, you know, about the willy, I bought that for my son, and I remember my son, yeah, Dave is like, oh my god, you can't give that to him yet. So I did hold off about a year or so. But it was a really cool book, and how it does unexpected things, and at times you don't think it should, and all's normal, and so on. So for me, I quite like everything. What do I do? Buy a book. I just default buy a book. And so, yeah, and the girls' ones, there's some fantastic ones. I don't have a daughter, but I've bought for all my nieces and kids having birthdays, the girls will buy them all a book. I do check with the parents first. But yeah, is this okay? But I do, I just think. And then I've had a lot of parents say to me, she won't let me look at that book. That's hidden away. That's her precious book, you know. So it just makes things a little bit open and relaxed for kids. What I will do is just talk briefly, unfortunately I can't show you slides and things like that, but I'd like to just move, I want to talk a little bit about inner relationship and what can start to go wrong with your sexual relationship, and then I want to, if I have time, touch a little bit on men, in that it's an area that I'd like to sort of research a little bit, but I'll come back to it. But the concept that it's so fantastic lately how we've been seeing female sexual emancipation, really, and we starting to become a bit more open, and we try and deal with women more sensitively and try and encourage them to, you know, feel sexual, whereas maybe they're repressed before, and all of that sort of thing. But the more I think about it, the more I wonder about men, and I think there's so many myths and things around them that I sometimes think, when I was talking about boys and pornography before and how we sort of feel sorry for the girls in a sense that they're feeling they need to behave in this promiscuous manner, but I wonder the messages the boys are getting and what that leaves them with. So I think maybe, because I'm on a roll with that, I think let me just start with that. Yeah, male gender stereotypes, and there's some guys here, so I'd just love to hear your views, because again, I'm just interested. And these are myths that I think are in place, but maybe you don't, maybe the rest of you don't. So I'm just wondering, because I think we very much, I don't know, it can be a bit of man bashing, I think, quite often happens. And I don't always think that's entirely fair or appropriate. If I can just find my sheet. The first one, so there are about five of them, so one myth, I think, if a sexually active man has a partner that he's attracted to, he will always be willing to have sex whenever it's offered to him. And I think that's not necessarily the case, and just as a woman sometimes needs to be rude or is tired or has other things going on for her. So a man as well, but I think a man has this, well, you must always perform. Of course, you're always thinking about sex. And if I'm offering it to you and you don't want it, then that must mean there's something wrong with me. So, and so I'm wondering about that, how you feel about that. Does that feel like a myth, or, you know, is it a fact? Do men always just automatically want it if it's on offer? The other thing that feels a bit mythical, that it's automatically assumed, yeah, that the men always want it, the women are the ones who are a bit reluctant and have the lower libidos, but sometimes it's absolutely the other way around. And so what I wonder then is, yeah, what pressure then does that put on a guy that, well, I'm meant to be up for it, and if I'm not, then what? So, yeah, very much so. And I think specifically I'm interested in, yeah, that thing, how does it leave the woman feeling? Because we're assuming men are wanting it all the time, then what does happen if they don't? How does it leave the woman feeling? And vice versa. And that's why I feel for men, because I think you can go through a whole lifetime of being knocked back. How awful must that be? But very often it's, well, you know, obviously the guys get initiate, so if we knock him back, that's okay, because that's the way it is. But just as women feel really rejected and so on, how must the guy feel?
The same.
Yeah. Foreplay and to get into the mood and all of that. Well, a man instantly wants it, doesn't need all that build up. Well, maybe he does. Yeah, so it's interesting, yeah.
I think there's a pressure for men to make the first move, because I've had a lot of males saying to me that expectation that you're supposed to be the one that kind of asks somebody out, you're the one that's kind of the first one, it's just daunting.
Yeah, very daunting. That, yeah, they must initiate. That ties in with the other thing about you as a woman must play hard to get and the guy needs to do the chasing. And I think maybe we get told that, or mothers tell us as girls, play hard to get, because hey, maybe you'll stay a virgin a bit longer and not go off with some guy, so maybe it has its place. But yeah, what is that like, that you always must make the first move and you're risking that rejection every time, but you're having to, but no one really has that empathy with you as a guy, I think.
Because they're supposed to be tough.
Yes.
Aren't they?
Yes.
They've got a hard shell. Women don't.
Yeah. Not supposed to. Exactly. All this gender stereotyping, I think, that feels unfair. And with the gender stereotyping and sort of sticking up for men, as it were. So with this dissertation that I did, that some of you know about and have read, because it was a while ago and I talk about it on and off. So I researched the sex lives of middle-aged women, long-term relationship, and what happens to the sex life after a while and so on. But one of the things at the end of my research was I was left with, actually, I'd like to continue the research in all sorts of directions, but one of the directions was I'd like to now interview the men and find out how they feel about their sex lives and how things change. And I just had this feeling of, yeah, what do they get recognized? Do they get treated with sensitivity and tact and understanding the way we try to with women, which is fantastic and how it should be. I always remember when I was in toddler groups and that, and with baby groups and so on, it was really quite hard, because not just talking on a sexual level, but it was almost a fashion for these mums, my peers, to sit around and husband bash or partner bash. And it was, oh God, he's so bloody useless, you know, and all sorts of things. And I couldn't do that because it didn't feel right and it didn't feel appropriate with my husband. But what was really difficult was to say out loud, my husband's not actually like that. I was almost embarrassed to say it because it was almost a done thing to say, yeah, no, my husband's actually a waste of space. And that felt really uncomfortable and it was not nice. So it feels as it that then spills over into sexual things as well. What else? And that sort of defined thing that the man is expected to be the protector, the provider, the strong one, the woman's the nurturer and at home, and so on. What happens when things turn around and the man maybe is, well, maybe he wants to be nurtured a whole lot more, or maybe he doesn't want to be the strong one at certain times. Maybe the woman's actually, got more sort of balls in the relationship than the guy does. Does the guy feel emasculated because of that? It's just something really I'm curious about and just starting to be curious about, as I say, following on with the stuff I have looked at. So, just a thought I'm throwing out there.